American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. This is the interview with Mr. Henry Low on December 4th, 1979 in Los Angeles, Chinatown, by Sue Ellen Chan.
Hold it.
Right now? Okay, Mr. Low, may I ask you where your parents are from?
My father came from Chungshan district, in Guangdong Province, China.
Uh-huh.
My mother was born in California.
Mm-hmm. And when did they come?
Well, my father came in the late 80s, about, mm-hmm. About 1885.
Uh-huh. Why did he come to the United States, do you know?
Yes. Like all the Chinese came here to seek livelihood.
Mm-hmm. Did he ever talk about the situation back home? The hardship?
Oh yeah, often. Mm-hmm. My grandfather was very poor, had only a small piece of land, mm-hmm. and cultivated vegetable, mm-hmm. and to take care of a family of 10.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So was your father the only one comes to the United States in the whole family? Or?
No, all my father's brother except one didn't come. All the odd numbers, that is the 1, 3, 5, and 7. And my father was the oldest, and Uncle George was the youngest, the 7.
Mm-hmm. I see. So, your mother was born here.
Yeah, my mother was born in California, and back, all her brothers and sister, there's 7 sisters and 3 brothers,
mm-hmm.
all born in California,
mm-hmm.
and only 1 or 2 went to China. Visit China. They all have never been back in the mainland.
Uh-huh. Your mother was born in Fresno?
No, in Mendocino, California, northern California, uh-huh. above San Francisco.
Uh-huh. And did you know your grandfather was born in California, or he came over?
No, my maternal grandparent, my grandfather's name was Li Lai Ming. And he was born in, also in the Zhongshan district, Guangdong province.
Mm-hmm.
And of the, his family village was the, in Nam, N-O-M, Long.
Mm-hmm. So
likewise, my grandmother, my maternal grandmother.
Mm-hmm. And they all came from China.
Right.
Do you know approximately when they came to the United States?
I don't know.
Uh-huh. Okay.
But in the late 80s, about the 1880s. Then.
Mm-hmm. So what did your father do?
My father was a dry goods merchant and also operated a garment factory,
uh-huh.
in the various cities in California.
Mm-hmm.
First in San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
and then the Oakland,
mm-hmm.
and then in Taft, California,
mm-hmm.
and also San Diego.
Mm-hmm. First he did his factory garment factory or the dry goods store?
Well, first it was the garment factory,
uh-huh.
and later they went into the retail dry goods, and when they move up to the uptown, that is along with the American merchants.
That was before you?
Before I was born.
You were born. So after you were born, they already not in garment factory business?
Well, not so much of a factory, but more of a retail store. The,
mm-hmm.
The retail business got larger and the factory became smaller.
Uh-huh, I see. So mentioned earlier that your father had the dry goods store in the front and the garment factory in the back.
Yeah, that is the most business was a papa mama business.
Mm-hmm.
See, they would the store front for retail business, and the sewing and was done in the back.
And
the family live upstairs.
I see. Did they hire anybody to do the?
Well, we hired one or two employees.
Chinese women.
Chinese men? Mostly men those days.
Uh-huh. That's like early.
Mostly men, yeah.
Uh-huh. I see. So your family members, like the children, do they have to help?
They help. They help. We used to come back, and my brother would sew the buttons on, and I have to, put the
uh-huh.
fold the garments.
Uh-huh.
And then when we get older, we waited on the customers.
I see. Who were the customers? Who were the customers, like Chinese?
Oh, no, mostly Americans.
Americans.
Yeah, our store is uptown.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, in San Francisco and Oakland, Tampa, and San Diego. We had, in San Diego, our last store was right downtown next to Woolworth department store. And
uh-huh.
we owned a building there on Fifth Street.
Uh-huh.
It's called the San Diego Tagre.
Uh-huh.
That is the partnership.
Uh-huh.
Our family had a 1/3 interest in it.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. So actually this garment factory was a kind of partnership that...
Well, in San Diego we had no more. No more factory.
Oh, I see.
It just strictly
dry goods
business.
I see. So why did your parents decide not to go on that garment business?
Well, you see, it's a question of labor supply and also getting the material, getting the orders.
Uh-huh.
You see, in San Diego, they don't have those wholesalers that have got the... like they do in San Francisco. It's only in the last 20 years, 25 years, the Los Angeles garment factory expanded when there were lots of wholesalers here who were would give these orders to the various garment factory.
Mm-hmm.
You see, without those, you could not operate.
Uh-huh. I see.
Garment factory, they flourish in the cities where there's lots of large wholesalers,
mm-hmm.
like Levi Strauss,
mm-hmm.
and those big garment. I can't remember some of the names now.
Mm-hmm.
See, like the Mall Wash and Dry Goods. Those. Without them, there's no way where you can get the order.
I see. So if they
mm-hmm.
didn't have the order, they
no.
have to be forced to close the factory then.
Yeah, well, then the labor supply was not so plentiful as now. Now with all the immigrants coming over, that there's...
Right, in the old days, there's no... Some, not
but in
the
recent years, there's no...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So dry goods store was always the family business in your family.
Oh, yeah, it's just a... retailers is like the, until recently the Chinese have gotten out of the dry goods store. They can't compete with the big places like Sears and other chain store. So they went into grocery business,
mm-hmm.
Papa and Mama business to begin with,
mm-hmm.
and subsequently they expanded. And as the children come out of school
mm-hmm.
and learn more about business.
Mm-hmm.
They come into the parents' business and expand that.
Mm-hmm.
And they learn also have supermarkets.
Mm-hmm.
They seek out a good location
mm-hmm.
with plenty of parking
mm-hmm.
and they built a supermarket. They take off through the San Joaquin Valley and load in Hanford
mm-hmm.
and Stockton.
Mm-hmm.
Those supermarkets
mm-hmm.
are just as big as some of the Safeway stores. You know.
I see. Uh-huh.
They buy a whole, particularly in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
They buy all that land, that farmland now, and they have these business shopping mall.
I see.
In a shopping center.
Uh-huh.
Done very well.
I see.
All the Chinese in Arizona, they owned a lot of real estate.
Yeah, but in the old days, it was just very small stores to start
Everybody
with.
Started small. Even Steve Roebuck started very small.
Right. What kind of dry goods your father sold?
Well, mostly ladies wear in, you know, cotton, silk, dresses, and in the general, the ladies' garments, lady garments, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And also they carry some men as staple shirts and overall, I mean, underwear.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Do they sell the food for any food?
No, very seldom. Canned
food,
no.
Or anything? Seldom, I see.
They don't have enough room to handle the larger garment, because you have to have more room for the kind of the sizes and the style and color. See, because most of Chinese dry goods store are small stores.
So your uncles were here too in California in the early years.
Yeah, my maternal uncle was in the dry goods business all his life,
uh-huh.
And he retired about 20 years ago,
mm-hmm.
And just recently passed away about 85 years old.
Mm-hmm. Where were they? In the early days,
in
business.
Well, he spent most of his years in Oakland.
Oakland.
Oakland. Then later on, he went to San Joaquin Valley and the Hanford. Then he, mm-hmm. then he came down here.
Mm-hmm.
His daughter is now living in Hanford,
mm-hmm.
And his son is there. By the way, his son was a former mayor of Hanford.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so,
Stan Hamm.
Mm-hmm. What's his name?
Stan Hamm.
Oh, Stan Hamm.
Ching Huiga.
Oh, I see.
But so. he's a Seattle boy.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the land title business.
I see. So, would you please tell me a little bit about your...
Yeah, when my father first came to the United States, he went directly to Sonora, California, where my father had a dry goods store.
Mm-hmm.
And went to school there. And the people of... were very nice to the Chinese, that is, the older generation. But the school, you know, the young American boys would be very mischievous. One day, he took my uncle by his queue and swung him around.
Mm-hmm.
But fortunately, his older brother, my fifth uncle, rescued him.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, he didn't go to school at all,
uh-huh.
Up there. And it was a few years later when he came down to the Oakland,
mm-hmm.
He attended the church,
mm-hmm.
Protestant church missionary school at nighttime, and learned most of his English there.
Mm-hmm.
He had no formal school education, and that is very unfortunate. He had to spend two or three more years in school. He would learn much more, but of course he finally started a business,
mm-hmm.
a large department store,
mm-hmm.
called the Oakland Emporium,
mm-hmm.
in Oakland, and that subsequently was change management,
mm-hmm.
after he had an accident when he pretty lost his life,
mm-hmm.
and then later on as time got bad, the business was liquidated.
Mm-hmm.
Then on my mother's side,
mm-hmm.
my mother had seven sisters and three brothers. And Uncle Harry, who's the father of my mother, Harry Lee, he born here, never been to China. And he told me that he didn't start learn ABC until he's 21 years old,
mm-hmm.
because in those days the Chinese felt that Chinese more important than English,
mm-hmm.
And of course, I had also some I had difficulties getting to the school. Mm-hmm. And although, but my uncle, he learned very quickly. He's smart. And if he had a few years of formal education, he would have gone very far. Mm-hmm. But despite that, he did very well. He acted as interpreter in the courts and did a lot of work among his people, mm-hmm. to promote their welfare and looked after him, and was very well liked. Mm-hmm. And subsequently he went into business in Hanford, mm-hmm. in the herb business and grocery business, mm-hmm. and did very well. Mm-hmm. He bought a lot of property there, mm-hmm. when property was cheap. And I had high respect for him, and he was a good uncle. He took care of all his nephews.
Mm-hmm, I see. So may I ask you about yourself? Where and when were you born?
I was born in Fresno, California, January 30th, 1904. Mm-hmm. And I've lived in California all my life. At first in Hanford for a few years. After the San Francisco earthquake, mm-hmm. my folks moved to Oakland, mm-hmm. and I lived there for about 3 or 4 years, where I started grammar school at the mm-hmm. Lincoln School. Mm-hmm. It's a well-known among the Chinese. Mm-hmm. And then I went to Taft, California, mm-hmm. where I finished grammar school, mm-hmm. in 1915, and went to San Diego and entered high school there that year. Mm-hmm. My family had moved from Taft to San Diego, mm-hmm. and I dropped out of high school, went to work in the bank, mm-hmm. Southern Trust and Commerce Bank, which is now part of the Bank of America. Uh-huh. And my brother likewise came into the bank after me, and then my cousin. We all spent about 10, 12 years with the Bank of America. Mm-hmm. My brother was manager of the Bank of America in Calexico during the war, mm-hmm. and my cousin was the assistant manager of the Market Street Branch of Bank of America in San Diego, mm-hmm. and I was in the credit department.
Mm-hmm. Why you quit school and work in the bank?
Well, you know, those days, when $250 a month was considered good wages, but then we, in order to get ahead, we figured we'd never get rich working in the bank, so mm-hmm. so we better look for other things to be getting business for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I did some interpreting in the immigration office, mm-hmm. and also was acted as an agent for the Dallas Steamship Line, oh. Moonlighting, in other words. Uh-huh. And then subsequently, I was appointed a clerk in the United States District Court here in Los Angeles, being the first Chinese serving in that court. Uh-huh. And then subsequently I started the China Travel Service in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. which I knew would be the helpful to the Chinese people for traveling purposes, mm-hmm. and convenient, because after the war, mm-hmm. when we return to normal, well, there'd be all this traffic going across the Pacific, and I felt that anything that was people needed and used would be a good business to go into. Mm-hmm. It's a service, and we we were in a good position to serve the Chinese after the war. We were fortunate that the Chinese community supported us, and for 33 years we stayed in business until recently. I sold, my wife and I sold the business. Actually, we started the business together in 1946, and now after 33 years, it's time for us to retire.
May I ask, when did you come to L.A., Los Angeles?
1937.
And you came here with your parents, or you came
myself. My parents were stayed in San Diego.
I see. So you came here as an interpreter.
Yeah, I was transferred from San Diego up to Los Angeles.
Oh, you were...
Because, you see, the port of entry was in Los Angeles Harbor.
I see. So would you please describe a little bit about that job?
Well, the immigration service in those days had to examine all the new immigrants, and they were admitted here as and through a very legal method adopted by the regulation of the immigration law, and as compared with now, where all the question is done in the foreign consuls, particularly for the Chinese coming from China, they are being processed at the American consulate in Hong Kong or in Taiwan, depending whether they apply for. For their visa. Now, in those days, the ship would bring many new immigrants in there, and the immigrant were not allowed to land after until they have given their story to prove their citizenship and the right to come in there for those claiming U.S. citizenship, and also have to prove the relationship of those who come as alien, that, in other words, children of Chinese merchants or who are already permanent resident of the United States. And that was a long process. Sometimes they have to wait 2 or 3 months before they admit it. And in the meantime, they are held in at the retention station at the harbor.
San Pedro,
mm-hmm. for here, and then San Francisco, Angel Island, the well-known mm-hmm. Angel Island, see, and subsequently, they're admitted by the immigration here, and given permanent residence,
mm-hmm.
and they are not. They're not considered as lawfully in the United States.
Mm-hmm. So but what did you do? You just help translate?
Well, we sit in what they call a board of special inquiry,
mm-hmm.
and the immigration inspector would ask the question, and then the secretary or the girl usually take down the transcribed testimony,
mm-hmm.
and we act as interpreter. Chinese, English,
mm-hmm.
Chinese.
I see.
See, with the four, mm-hmm. with the applicant, the four of us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, those are the cases that you involve, like the immigrants, or is there any other cases that you involve?
Oh yeah, we often are called upon to go to court to interpret it, and when they have, particularly when they arrest a lot of these Chinese who are illegal here, that particularly those that came over from Mexico to jump the border.
Mm-hmm.
Border. In the old days, the Chinese were the most, would be the one, what they called, apprehended for illegal entry, and they called them contraband.
Mm-hmm.
And, like the wetbacks,
mm-hmm.
But they smuggle mostly by the American or the Chinese, mm-hmm. but some of them just walk across the line.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're apprehended, and then they call us in to interpret for them, see.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a time there where the Mexico, where the Chinese are in business, and they were driven out by the Mexicans,
mm-hmm.
because the Chinese have been doing so well, and the only way they can get rid of the Chinese is establish some very harsh law,
mm-hmm.
under which the Chinese have a hard time to live.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so the Chinese, instead of, when a lot of their property has been taken away from them, they have to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So they just come over to the United States,
mm-hmm.
and walk across the line and hail the immigration officers, come and get me.
Mm-hmm.
By doing that, the United States ship them back to China, without cost.
Mm-hmm.
There is a provision in the immigration law where they must deport them back to the country whence they originally came.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the Chinese, what they call free trippers.
Really?
They got all, yeah. They a lot of them would have them send the money back to Hong Kong and to China, and then walk across the line, let the immigration arrest them, and then they get a free trip back to Hong Kong.
How many approximately, like, every month or every year?
Oh, 200-300 every month.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Those are like
deport. They call them deportation cases. See, they admit to come in there illegally,
mm-hmm.
and they're willing to go back. See,
uh-huh.
They spend a few weeks in a county jail,
mm-hmm.
and the U.S. government put them out in the first boat because they have to feed them at a jail.
Yeah.
It's costly.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to, every other Monday, I'd go down to the court, and I'd stand in line, there'd be 40 or 50 stand in line, and I would ask them in the diverse dialect, I said, what's your name? And they'd tell me, and they all plead guilty, so
mm-hmm.
anxious to go back.
Other than this kind of case, what other cases? Like
not very, those are the two major.
Two major cases.
Mm-hmm. Some of those other, They don't involve immigration matter. There are a lot of, they're also the interpretive to use when any of the Chinese want to leave the country.
Uh-huh.
They have to first apply to the immigration service for a permit to leave the country and come back.
Mm-hmm.
Even citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Used to have what they call a Form 530.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I was born here, if I go to Mexico for half an hour, I have to go and get that form and run before I can get back in here.
Mm-hmm. So you would be there and help
Yeah,
these
even for U.S.
to,
citizens.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
I see.
So
that you work for as an interpreter in immigration office for how many years?
Oh, off and on for about 10 years.
For about 10 years.
Sometimes we did moonlight and then. For a while we did peace work,
mm-hmm.
and then on. So
well, you are not doing this interpreter work. You know, what else you did?
Well, I did court work,
uh-huh.
and very general. Oh yeah, I was an insurance agent too.
Oh, at that time. Mm-hmm.
I had everything,
uh-huh.
and income tax work.
Oh, I see.
See, I had a public accounting license,
mm-hmm.
and. Notary public.
Mm-hmm. So your
in general.
Your customer or Chinese or?
Anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, mostly Chinese. Sometimes I get some friends, sometimes mostly Chinese.
When did you start working as a clerk in the court?
1942.
Uh-huh.
I came out of Olive View Sanitarium in 1941.
Uh-huh.
I was there for 37 months,
uh-huh.
42.
Uh-huh.
Then I worked 4 years and I started China Travel Service November 46.
So 1942 you were a clerk and what did you do? Okay, so what kind of work you did when you were clerk in the court?
Oh, various clerical work, then I was in charge of the passport division
mm-hmm.
before they had the departments did. So I handled all the passport applications. Mm-hmm. And the passport in those days were issued in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. We just took the applications and mm-hmm. I was a big shot there.
So
my boss says, today you're a big shot, tomorrow you're nobody.
But you were the first
Chinese in the mainland. Mm-hmm. See, the first one is in Honolulu.
Uh-huh, I see. So did you get the same amount of the pay as the other colleagues?
Oh yes, the pay was not very much. We only were paid about $350 a month. Mm-hmm. This is way back in 1946.
I see. How much did you get paid as an interpreter?
$8 a day.
$8 a day? And,
and then how
many hours you work?
Well, we work 8 hours a day.
8 hours a day, and that's...
Not very much on the... Well, a little bit more, maybe $10 a day. And mm-hmm. when we go on the out of town, then we get, expenses.
I see. Mm-hmm.
Get the room.
I see. So, did you live in Chinatown when you worked as an interpreter?
No, I lived near the SCE campus.
Uh-huh, I
had a room in the Willard Hall there. And, uh-huh. I didn't go to SCE, but I just lived there with some of the students.
Uh-huh, I see. Did you then know a lot of Chinese? You have a lot of Chinese?